Okay, we're going to take a step back from the news now to talk about people, with someone who spends his life talking with and photographing strangers. Brandon Stanton is the man behind the wildly popular blog and Facebook page Humans of New York, which features street photographs of random strangers in New York City, often paired with a short snippet of an interview with the person in the photo. Stanton's work was published in a New York Times bestselling book, also called Humans of New York, and he's just out with a new children's book called Little Humans. Brandon Stanton, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, you have now more than 10 million followers on Facebook and even more on Tumblr and on Twitter. People clearly are connecting with this. What do you think it is that they're responding to?
Well, Humans of New York, you know, just kind of give the quick catch up for people who don't follow, is something I've been doing for 4 years, and I've stopped over 10,000 people on the streets of New York City, and I take a photograph of them, and I learn a little bit about their lives. And, you know, these conversations that I have with people on the streets escalate very quickly. You know, within a matter of a few minutes, oftentimes we're talking about things that they might not have told their closest friends or, you know, their relatives or their family. You know, things about their biggest fears or their biggest weaknesses. And, you know, so beyond the photography or beyond any type of, you know, journalism or anything, I think what really draws people to the work is that kind of that intimacy, the intimacy with strangers. You know, I think there's a certain, you know, power to getting a very intimate glimpse into somebody's life who you might have just passed by on the street and not thought twice about.
But why do you think that they're willing to be so open with you if, as you say, they aren't even telling these things to their family members?
Well, you know, I must qualify that at first, that they're not always willing to be open to me, with me. You know, I was out there today before I came into this interview, and I'd say, you know, 8 out of 12 people turned me down. You know, normally it's less than that, but, you know, oftentimes people aren't willing to talk. But, you know, a lot of times when they do agree to have their photo taken and we get into a conversation, you know, I always say that it's the reason that it's so easy to talk to a stranger as opposed to somebody who you're really close to is that these people that we're close to, we have such long histories with. You know, there's such a backlog in an archive of judgments and experiences that we think we have the people that we're closest to kind of really pigeonholed. And so often the people that are the last to notice that we've changed and or we've evolved our thinking or we've become a new person are the people that are closest to us. Mm. Talking with a stranger, someone who knows nothing about you, someone who has no preconceived notions or judgments about you, makes it that much easier to be kind of candid about your thoughts and your experiences.
Well, what do you ask? I know that you have a rotation of questions that you like to ask people.
Right. Well, you know, what I'm always looking for is I'm looking for a story. I always say that I'm looking for something that this person has not told me out of the 10,000 people I've talked to. With each individual person I approach, I'm looking for something from them that I haven't heard from anybody else. And that's almost never a philosophy or an opinion. It's almost always a story. Because I say we all have similar philosophies or opinions, but none of us have the same story. And so I ask questions in an effort to learn a story. And a lot of times I find that the most pivotal stories in our lives or the most powerful stories in our lives tend to revolve around very strong emotions. If you kind of think about to what the strongest memories are in your mind, a lot of times this is a time you felt really afraid or really sad or really happy. So a lot of my first questions revolve around those emotions. You know, when was the happiest moment of your life? When was the saddest moment of your life? When did you feel angriest? What do you feel most guilty about? And then with the follow-up questions, I try to kind of flesh out these stories as much as possible.
It's interesting you talk about asking people for stories. I remember years ago, as a young radio reporter, I was doing a project sort of similar to this called Sonic IDs, where I would go and ask people to tell me anything that they wanted to talk about, they could talk to me about it. And one guy who was the former keeper of a church clock tower, and we were right near it, he said, you know, that's what I want to tell you about. And I said, well, it's almost 2 o'clock. Why don't we go up and record the bell going off? And we walked up there and he starts to remember. He goes back and he starts to remember in his head. This is the first time he's been there in a couple of years. And he says to me, the best line I have ever gotten on tape in radio, he says, "I guess my ultimate reason for retiring is that I don't really care what time it is."
Oh, man, I love
which
that.
Which was great. Yeah, but yeah. I see what you're saying. You can just ask people and they will tell you.
I'm always amazed, you know. I've done it so much, you know, because when I first had this idea and I started approaching people, I was so nervous to even ask them for their photograph, you know, not even mentioning asking them personal questions about themselves. I didn't even think a stranger would let another stranger take their photograph. And having done this 10,000 times now, there's almost an assumption on my part that when I approach somebody and I ask them for their photo, that very soon we're going to be talking about very intimate things. Hmm. And, you know, I'm working on this assumption so much that sometimes, you know, I have to take a step back and say, God, you know, I talked to 5 different people today that, you know, told me some of their biggest secrets and biggest vulnerabilities before I even knew their name, you know? And yeah. It's a very interesting process and kind of, I guess, a glimpse into psychology and how willing we are to connect with each other.
This is Here and Now, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Brandon Stanton, the photographer behind the popular blog and best-selling book, Humans of New York. Stanton is recently back from a global tour with the United Nations, where he photographed and interviewed people in a dozen countries. And he's just published a book for kids called Little Humans. And Brandon, why do a children's book?
Well, you know, one of the most popular parts of the blog has always been, you know, the photographs of children. I guess, mastered the art of not appearing creepy and asking children for their photographs, which always involves only dealing with the adult at first. Whenever I photograph a child, I fully talk to the parent before I even acknowledge the child. But then as soon as the parent gives me the permission, I only focus on the child and I get on the ground and I try to kind of enter their world for a little while. And so the result has been over the past 4 years, a collection of just hundreds of kids' portraits that have been, you know, one of the most bright spots of the blog and one of the most popular spots of the blog. But, you know, there's also some very kind of raw material on Humans of New York. It's very uncensored. And so the blog hasn't really been available to a young audience. So the idea was it would be great to kind of package up these photographs, these great portraits of kids in a way that young people can really connect to. And that was our effort with Little Humans.
What's one of your favorites in Little Humans? One of your favorite stories that some little kid told you?
Oh, man. As far as like my favorite thing that a kid has said, actually just happened a few days ago. I photographed this little kid, and I always say that my favorite people to interview are the people who are at the beginning and the ends of their lives because they have two alternate perspectives of the world, but neither of them are less profound. The children are coming from a point of innocence, and whereas in, you know, really old people are coming from a point of experience, and they both say profound things drawing from these two different viewpoints. And yesterday I photographed this little kid, and he was dressed like Batman, and I asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said he wanted to be a police officer. And I said, you know, what's going to be the best part about being a police officer? And he said, finding out who made the mistakes. Hmm. And I love that he used the word mistakes instead of crimes. Yeah. And then I asked him what the hardest part about being a police officer was going to be. And he said, figuring out which key unlocks the jail. And I just love that he used the word unlock. And so, you know, a lot of times just kids in their innocence can put a little twist on something that, you know, comes off as very profound and very charming.
How did you get into this? You lost your job as a bond trader in Chicago, but how did you go from that to this?
Right. Well, I mean, I had just a few weeks before losing my job, I had purchased a camera just to kind of relieve stress on the weekends because obviously things weren't going well. And, you know, little did I know that 3 weeks later I was going to be out of the job. And, you know, I knew that I enjoyed taking this camera downtown Chicago at the time on weekends and photographing. And so once I lost my jobs, I was a currency trader. And so, you know, I kind of looked back at the past 2 or 3 years of my life. And, you know, this whole time, and there were parts of it I enjoyed. It's not like it was black and white. But, you know, this whole time I had been thinking about money, trading money to make money. And my life had kind of been consumed by an effort to kind of delay gratification by making money first and then hopefully putting that money towards something I really wanted to do in the future. And I said, well, I'm going to skip that step and I'm just going to do something that I love for no thought of compensation, just because I loved it. And at the time, even though I'd only been doing it for 3 weeks, that was photography. And so I kind of decided to travel around for a few months and just do street photography. And through that kind of time off, quote unquote, the Idea for Humans of New York developed, and then it kind of took on a life of its own.
We're talking with Brandon Stanton, the photographer behind Humans of New York, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Brandon, you've taken it on the road far from New York. You went to the Middle East. You did 12 countries in 60 days, most of them war-torn or poor, Iraq, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ukraine, Mexico. What did you find there? And did you find things were very different in terms of photographing and talking to people than when you're home in New York?
Well, you know, each country, obviously, you know, there are 12 different countries, and each one obviously had its own culture and its kind of own set of problems, so they can't be compared as a whole to New York. But, you know, one thing that I found in, and this is kind of difficult to put into words, but one thing that I found in a lot of places is how constraining in places where you don't have an infrastructure, in places where you don't have security or an economy that kind of allows everybody to have a place, you have people's lives are more consumed by their present circumstances to the exclusion of kind of hopes and aspirations. You know, I interviewed a lot of refugees while I was on a trip. These were people who had just recently been displaced by war. And, you know, I asked them the exact same questions. You know, what was the happiest moment of your life? You know, what was the saddest moment of your life? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? What's your greatest accomplishment? Things like this that I asked the people all day long in New York. And what I realized is that with people who don't have security in their lives or don't have the means to put food on the table, the mind kind of blocks out access to these other spheres of existence, whether that be your hopes or your aspirations or even your memories. And, you know, that was kind of really eye-opening to me, especially as I kind of returned to New York and, you know, people got to talk about their relationship problems and the dynamic of their father putting too much pressure on them and kind of bringing into focus that these problems and these dramas, while they are important and they are, you know, very touching, are a luxury to have. And it's a luxury that we have because so much of our lives are already taken care of for us by the infrastructure that's in place here in America or in the Western world.
I'm going to ask you one question before you leave, Brandon, and that is, what's your happiest memory?
Well, you know, my it's, you know, they have to be connected with Humans of New York because, you know, Humans of New York has just been such an amazing ride for me. The absolute most honest answer was when I found out the book was a number one New York Times bestseller because it was something that I really wasn't expecting. It came out in the middle of the fall. And I had moved here, you know, with nothing and chased this kind of crazy idea of approaching people on the street. And it took almost a year, over a year, of doing this all day, every day, before it started gaining any traction at all. And so for that to happen 2 years later, for this book of photography that I barely got published, I barely got a book deal, to, you know, suddenly be the number one selling book in the country, it was just immediately kind of a flood of release of all of the kind of frustration and hard work and loneliness that, you know, kind of came out of chasing something crazy like this. And yeah, you know, I just kind of started crying in a parking lot and did that for a good hour. Mm. And that was the happiest moment of my life.
Brandon Stanton, he is the author of the new book, Little Humans, and he is the creator of Humans of New York. Brandon, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
And it is a tough question. Mm. What was the happiest memory? We've been asking on our Facebook page, facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Debbie writes, standing under the chuppah with the man who was about to become my husband. It was 2 weeks after my 40th birthday. I had suffered from depression earlier in my life and honestly thought I wouldn't live long enough to see either 40 or my own wedding. We would love to hear from you at our website, hereandnow.org. You can also see some of the photos that Brandon has taken.
They are astonishing. You should check them out. And your happiest moment, can you...
No, I'm saying it's a too tough of a question.
Hard.
I can't think
too
of
many.
What it would be. Hereandnow.org.